Thank you for checking out this Modern Synthesis podcast. I'm Generic White Guy Number 2, and as always, I'm joined by Generic White Guy Number 1. If you have sensitive baby ears, better turn your volume down now, baby. Rundown of what exactly you're listening to. We're calling this Xenos Alchemist, mainly because it's easy to remember. Xenos is spelled with an X, like Xena, warrior princess, and I pronounce alchemist, but however you want to say words, it's your business. The whole purpose of this thing is simply to discuss and celebrate the human ability to make, modify, and tell stories. Nerdy, nerdy stories. It's hosted by Mr. Pink and I. We're brothers, and 4 years ago we sounded identical, but now I live 9,550 kilometers away from my bro, so it seems my voice has changed. Hopefully you can distinguish our voices. Chronologically, this isn't the first episode, but with the announcement of Shadow Wars Armageddon, we, like many others, got super excited and wanted to get this episode out before the masses get this game in hand. So, this is episode one. I prefer a long-ass podcast, as long as it is concise. Generally, we start off with this, the opening, followed by the main topic of the episode, then we say our farewells, and I throw a song on the end. We want to put out an episode a month, mainly because that's about as often as we talk to each other over Skype. I try to edit it down to a lean, sexy piece of audio gold. Sometimes that means changing what a person said, because they blathered on, or they stumbled over their words. Anyways, this has been long enough, so let's get started. So you bought Shadow Wars, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I did.
I want the rules. There's nothing in the box I need. I've got enough scenery here to play it. I've found a bunch of the rules. I can send you a link if you want to start reading them. There's a really good battle report by Mini Wargaming, and it's fast. I don't even think they go more than two turns, maybe, and the game's over.
Yeah, there were a bunch of guys playing it at Games Workshop here in Toronto, and they seemed to really love it, but it did seem to go very quickly. And it's very unforgiving that if you make a mistake, you could be out.
You pre-ordered it. You don't have it in your hand right now, right? Because I heard it sold out online.
No, I definitely pre-ordered it. Because I pre-ordered it, I got specialist cards for all the forces that are listed in the rules and any of the orc characters who look like fun. My favorite is the guy who has the grots. He gets D6 grots who can accompany him. And if he rolls a 1, he gets something called the Mad Grot. So it's like one super badass grot, so he gets an extra attack.
I know the cards. The specialists are weird. It's only certain missions that allow you to use a specialist. They don't have points cost, I don't think.
Yeah, so how the specialists work, it's a little confusing. I didn't understand until I showed up and actually had the rules explained to me. You can't add them to your gang all the time, because when you conscript people into your gang, those guys join your team. Unless they get killed in a game, they stay with your team, they gain experience, they level up. But the, I guess they're called special op, where they don't have point costs. That's because you can only conscript them for a mission. They come out, they help you for that mission, and then they're gone. So they don't join your crew. So I think how it works is that when you're creating an army for Shadow War, you have 1,000 points. And you spend your 1,000 points to build those guys. You have to pay for all their guns. You have to pay for all of their equipment. All they come with is just armor and a blade of some kind, a close combat weapon. So you gotta hit him out, and it can get pretty expensive for people like heavy weapons guys. For example, the seismic cannon for the Gene Stealer cult, apparently it's horrendously awesome, but it costs 220 points. So that's like a quarter of your force being spent on one gun. What happens is you have 1,000 points to make your force, and then as you win games in like the kind of campaign that you're playing, like you win one game, you move on to the next one. If you play a game and lose, you get one thing called a Promethium cash. And if you win the game, I think you get D3 Promethium cash for winning. And each one of those Promethium cash is worth 100, I think it's 100 points. You can trade them in to use that much points. Or what you can do is you can spend a Promethium cash to hire one of these special operatives. So, for example, for the Gene Stealer list, I believe you can hire an Acolyte Hybrid. Not sure why you'd bother. Hybrid Metamorph, slightly better. Or Gene Stealer. Always hire Gene Stealer. Why would you hire anything else? So you can only hire, I think, one operative per mission, and you have to spend that Promethium cash, which would otherwise give you points towards fleshing out your army. And I think they might also count as victory points. So you might have to spend your victory points to get better guys to win the mission in the hopes that you can get more Promethium cash. And then you finish a game, you get an additional 100 points to upgrade your guy's stuff or to recruit a new guy if you can do that. But some forces are much more expensive.
than 100 points to recruit a guy.
Like Space Marines or Grey Knights are in there, and they look super OP, but I think they're super, super expensive. If you're playing Grey Knights and one of your guys dies, like in a mission, he's gone. Like you, it's not like 40K where you play a game, you pay 1,000 points, a bunch of guys die, you play your next game, they're all back. In Shadow War, if a guy dies, he's dead. Like he's gone. You lose his stuff, you lose him. You have to roll to see if he's captured or if he dies, I think. And if he's captured, he can get an ability that's like Escape Artist or something, which lets him get out and come back to you, but he loses all his gear. Or I think there's a way that they can die where they don't actually die, but they do lose all their gear because they got knocked out by the enemy and they like strip them of their gear, but they come back. So you got to pay to re-equip them. So it is really bad if someone dies and you really got to pay the consequences. And it seems like the toss-ups with Shadow War is that you got to decide when you're getting the Promethium cash, do you want to get more guys that are going to join your gang and just kind of like be your operatives going forward? Or do you want to blow that Promethium cash on hiring a specialist dude for one mission, which might get you benefits in the short term, but he doesn't stay with you at the end. He's gone at the end of the mission. So you could have spent that on an initiate who kind of like comes in the mission, he's another gun, and he could get level up, get experience, get different abilities, and get different weapons. So you gotta, it's a trade-off that you gotta decide.
There's a little bit of a letdown where it's not like Necromunda. Because they want it to be using 40k regular units, you're like, well, I can make them multi-purpose, so I could use them in 40k and in the Shadow War.
Oh, I don't know if I agree, because I feel like you just gotta take that jump for yourself. Look at it and realize that you can create a very characterful force for Shadow War. And just kind of let go of the fact that it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm only going to use my models that I use in 40K. Like, you can use your 40K models to supplement them, but I think you're going to get the most out of Shadow War if you take the impetus to actually convert the guys. Like, that's the cool, one of the things I really love about it is that in 40K, you can give the whole squad weapon, or you can give the whole squad grenades, or you can give, like, you can give two special weapons to a squad, but in Shadow War, you can give like each guy a different gun if you really want to. You can give that guy a special ammunition. That guy can be your grenade dude who like you load him up with all these demolition charges and he just like runs in. And you can actually represent that on the model. Like it's not an issue of what you see is what you get, rules lawyering. You ask beyond your model if you want to use it. It's more a case of you can do crazy stuff on your model, like have this guy strapped with like 18 bandoliers of grenades, and it actually means something. It's like, oh, that's the grenade dude. And like he gets a name, and then he runs in, and if he blows people up, then he survives, and if he doesn't, he dies, then he dies. And maybe you conscript another grenade dude later to replace him and give him a new name. But it's so open to like characterful conversions and characterful models that I really hope people embrace that, and they aren't held back by the feeling that, oh, well, I don't want to spend all this money converting models for this for Shadow War when I should be using all these models for 40K. Because, like, Shadow War is awesome. Like, just have a Shadow War force and make some really cool dudes for it.
So you pre-ordered it. What do? You don't want the orcs? You don't want the scouts? You just want the terrain in the game?
Yeah, so I figured that if I had the orcs or the scouts, I could convert them up to something. But I mostly want the terrain. But I found a guy at Games Workshop who wants the orcs, and I might be trading him my orcs for some of his terrain, because I love the terrain a lot more than the standard models. Like, I could convert them up into something. The only orc faction that I'm really, really would want to convert is the Blood Axe orcs or whatever, the commando ones. It would be really cool to do some wicked conversions for those guys. But I don't need more conversion fodder right now. I have enough stuff to do. If I keep the scouts, they're pretty good models as long as you switch out those hideous faces. I could make them into maybe like heavily armored gang guys so that I could field like different parts of my gang by proxying different rules. Like if I want gangers that are heavily armored and have better guns because they're like our super elite guys from the Gene Sealer cult, then they'll be represented by scouts and I'll like convert them to look Gene Sealer-y. Or if I want like more runny stabby cultists because the Shadow War rules for Gene Sealer cult are very shitty. They don't really represent the combat side unless you use Promethean cash to hire the more combat oriented members of the cult. I might pull like find some other force in there that's a little more combat oriented and use them to rep Gene Sealer cultists. Like I don't know if I do Dark Eldar witches, but I might do like Harlequins, but those would be like basically Gene Sealers running around killing people because the Harlequins are super powerful.
I remember somebody telling me that in Necromunda las guns were the best fucking guns to have.
Yeah, I can definitely get some las guns for my cult. And I've been thinking about getting las guns for them because the ammo reload is so good. They're a little more expensive, but you can get them for the cultists and you can get a hotshot las gun pack. I haven't actually seen the rules for that yet, but I'm assuming it makes them like more powerful. But yeah, generally I think Shadow War is really cool. It's got a lot of potential. I wish that the specialists, you could like bring a specialist into your gang full time and that they could really join your force, but I guess they're too powerful. I don't know. And I'm really hoping that Games Workshop comes out with Shadow Wars Necromunda and introduces, like, more gangs and stuff. Like, I want to see Shadow War rules for Kroot, so I have an excuse to convert, like, a Kroot Hunter Warband thing.
I think having this, the Shadow War facet of 40K, it lets them make a new Kroot box, because it could be easily used in Shadow War, so somebody could just pick up a box of 10 guys, and that's their army. Or the Tau guys who want new Kroot models, they can finally date the line.
Yeah, every time you release a new box, you release Shadow War rules for it.
I like that Space Marines are not in Shadow Wars.
Aren't they? You can get them, but they're super expensive. Well, there's... Okay, Space Marines are not in Shadow Wars, but they have fucking Grey Knight rules, which are stupid.
But the Grey Knights are 3 to 5 models.
Yeah, and the thing that I saw yesterday, what I really like about Shadow War from, like, seeing the guys playing at a Games Workshop, is that one guy was playing Tyranids, and with Tyranids, it's not, like, super killer, but you can buy Warriors. That's your only Tyranid forces. But the Warriors cost a lot, because they have 3 wounds, and, like, they're pretty substantial fighters. But this one guy, he lost his special weapons guy who had the Barb Strangler, and he was like, oh shit, how much is it going to cost me to replace this warrior? I gotta pay like 225 points. However, there's some limit on like the number of like Promethean cash you can cash in to get new guys. I think it's like something like 200, unless this guy missed something. So he was screwed. He's like, I can never buy another special weapons guy. Like, I don't know if you can upgrade a normal guy to a special weapons guy for cheaper, but so it penalizes people who want to make a force of, like, big, beefy dudes. That guy who was playing Tyranids, he was playing with Tyranid Warriors. And it's kind of counterintuitive for Tyranids, because I've always thought about doing an all-warrior force. I thought that would be really cool, like these big hulking dudes rolling around, blowing people up. But Tyranids are supposed to be a swarm army. And in Shadow War, there aren't rules for Gaunts or Hormagaunts or anything like that. You can get Tyranid Warriors, and then you can upgrade... You can hire special ops people, like either a Zonthrope, a Ravener. Oh, the third one is a Tyranid Prime. So you can hire those guys, but you can't hire any of the little, like, rank-and-file gaunts. So what I was thinking, I haven't actually looked at the Orc rules yet because I don't have the box set yet, but I was thinking you could proxy Tyranids, like the rank-and-file dudes, like gaunts or hormagaunts or whatever, by using Orc rules for them. Because the Orcs, I think they can get up to 20 guys in their gang, and they're, like, low-level swarm dudes, but they've got, like... I think they've got 2 close combat weapons because they've got a pistol and a combat blade. So I guess you could field them as, like, weird micro-warrior Tyranids that have, like, a flesh borer and a scything talon. Or you can just use gaunts and say, hey, these guys have extra attacks in close combat for being so stabby. So that would be a way to get gaunts into Shadow War by using the Orc rules. I don't play that much, but when I'm looking at an army list, I'm always worried about having armor penetration, like strong armor penetration, so I can deal with power armor. And it's interesting to think of Shadow War as a place where you don't have to worry about power armor. Like, you get Exarch armor, I guess, with Eldar, but...
The first thing I'm looking at every unit is ammo roll. Ammo roll, ammo roll. What's his ammo roll? Oh, it's an 8? Fuck that. What's his ammo roll? Oh, Meltagun ammo roll is a 4? That's fucking awesome. Oh, Lasgun, 3 ammo roll. Yes, everyone's getting a Lasgun.
Apparently that's really important in Shadow War. That's what I learned yesterday, that... if you fail your ammo roll, you can't use that weapon anymore that battle, and you're basically screwed.
Well, you can run in and try to punch somebody, but...
But usually people who are good at shooting don't want to run in and punch people. Again, that would be another place where Marines would do okay. They can shoot and they can run in and punch, but Marines are too expensive, so you have to choose whether you're going to be punchy or you're going to be shooty.
Like, I kind of wish I could do, like, scouts all armed with lasguns.
Oh, you can't buy them though, right?
No, you can't. It's weird that the core rulebook is just Orcs and Imperium.
Yeah, I don't like that, but whatever. It's a good thing that they released all the rules online. Like, yesterday, before I even got to Games Workshop, I'd read a whole bunch of factions.
I've read them too. Putting the Orcs and the Imperium and Space Marine all in one book, and then everything else is free, it's like everybody has Space Marines. So I want to try to get my Space Marines into Shadow Wars. Well, I can't get the rules for free online. I'm going to have to buy the set. Okay, fine. I'll buy the set. So it's like putting the rules for the armies that everyone's going to be able to play. You've got to pay for them. But everybody else, they're free.
Kind of the Imperial players are screwed this time around. They get to see what all the Xenos players are up against in that Games Workshop loves Space Marines, super supports Space Marines. Oh, you play Xenos army? Oh, well, yeah, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to see about your thing. But this time they kind of like came out loud and proud. Anyone who doesn't play Space Marines, here's all your rules. And it's like, oh, Space Marine players, you got to buy the box set. I'm sure they'll remedy that and put the Space Marine stuff online soon. But
with the cult stuff that you've made now, you could feel the cult mechanicus.
I know. What I want to do is I actually want to take other rules, depending on what kind of gang I want to take other rules and use my miniatures for them. The cult mechanicus rules, I was looking at them, they look pretty shooty, and they have decent armor. So I was thinking of, like, if I wanted to do, like, a crack cult, like, gunny team that has, like, decent armor, like, they're, like, the elite of the cult, I could field them as Mechanicus. But you're right that I have like enough extra Mechanicus miniatures around that I could probably make a Mechanicus warband, but I'd rather just make them a cool cult. But that's interesting with the point you make. Kind of the Imperial players are screwed this time around. They get to see what all the Xenos players are up against in that Games Workshop loves Space Marines, super supports Space Marines. Oh, you play Xenos Army? Oh, well, yeah, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to see about your thing. But this time they kind of like came out loud and proud. Anyone who doesn't play Space Marines, here's all your rules. And it's like, oh, Space Marine players? You got to buy the box set. I'm sure they'll remedy that and put the Space Marine stuff online soon, but...
No way. They're not putting it online. I'm betting you $100 they won't release it.
You don't think so? I don't know, man. There's a lot of pissed off people who didn't get to buy this thing. And even like at Games Workshop yesterday, there was Games Workshop employees who were pissed off that the company decided to do this like limited release thing. Because those guys are like, they're under pressure to meet sales targets, right? And Games Workshop released this game that everyone wants.
There's this thing that's in demand and they can't meet demand.
Yeah, there was a ton of people who were kind of sad yesterday because they came in looking to pre-order it. And like they were there the first Saturday that it came out, but they couldn't get it because Games Workshop made it limited.
How did you get it then?
I was just there early. I was one of the first people there. Oh, it was awesome. One of the dudes, because apparently people have been ripping off the pre-orders where they open like a whole bunch of different tabs on their browser and they just order it in every tab and then they see which ones come through. And people like do that and they sell it on eBay. But one of the employees very smartly used that tactic to get actual copies. This is the stupid thing. This is someone who works for Games Workshop and they can't get copies for paying customers. He has to rip off the system to get the customers' copies. Because he's competing with everybody else for it. So I guess that's good for people who are ordering online. You have as much chance of getting it as someone who goes into a Games Workshop store. But I just got lucky that the staff that I was dealing with were smart. And they opened all these tabs to make sure that we could get them. Because they wanted to serve their customer. Because the customers are there, ready to buy this thing. And they need to get it for them.
How do you feel about the terrain that comes with it?
I love the terrain. All the like big, the generator and the smokestacks and all that stuff. I can't stand the catwalks. I think they look too gothic.
Yeah, the underparts.
The stanchions that hold them up, they look like weird, super gothic I-beams. And then I really don't like the barricades that they used.
For the walls, yeah. They look almost orc-y.
Yeah, or like something out of a cathedral or something like that. Like, I understand that this is the grim darkness of the far future and everything is super gothic, but I really don't like that design. I got to figure out what I'm going to do about that. I looked if I could just clip them off, but I think that would look dumb if you clip the points off the top. But I love all the other terrain. I just don't like I think the catwalks are awkward. I think they're too tall.
The problem is that you've got to get underneath them too. So if they're too low, then you're like constantly bumping it around.
Yeah, like I love the old Necromunda catwalks, but I guess they were too low. Like, I guess it would be tough to get underneath one of those.
I sent you that picture of the dollar store train bridge that I bought, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I bought 6 of them.
Can you get guys under it, though?
It would still be kind of hard, but what I'm going to do is just make it so that under each section, there's only one kind of archway for model to pass underneath, and then everything else is going to be boxed in with foam core.
I really like the upgrading thing, where like these guys get stronger. Like, I like the kind of experience mechanic. I know that's like core Necromunda, but I never played that much Necromunda. I don't know why. I probably should have. But it's cool to have that reintroduced.
I think the thing that kind of shot Necromunda in its foot is everyone's buying lots of miniatures for 40K. It's like, hey guys, I know we're all trying to paint these models to make big ass armies, but let's start this other army that's only going to be 10 guys.
I guess Shadow War solved that in that they're like, here's the rules for the miniatures you already own, so you can play them in this game too.
So are you going to make a board?
I don't know. I figure I could just like have the terrain be modular and move it around.
I really like the one that it's just like a tube, like a furnace or something.
Silo? Yeah, I love that one too.
That furnace will come in its own separate set for $50. And like it doesn't even have the stupid gothic arches. It just has the platform on top, no walls or barricades, and just two ladders going up to the top.
Yeah, we're so goddamn much the same. I really like that model too. Yeah, it's just that, oh man, the catwalks are not good. The platforms are fine. I could deal with the stanchions, the things holding them up, but I just really don't like those guardrails. What I'd want to do is find some magical way to get old Necromunda plastic, those walls that they would use to build all the card scenery around.
The bulkheads.
Yes, but those are probably really expensive online. I don't know.
Dude, we have some.
I don't know where they are.
They're all on the kits that we have, cardboard scenery kits.
Are those still around?
We used them last time we played Kill Team.
Should I raid those?
Raid those, strip them, cast them.
That's challenging, but I could try. Well, actually, if you just do a pour mold of one side... interesting. This could work.
Okay. Oh! Actually, the Dark Eldar stuff seems pretty cool. I like that it's just witches. They move so fucking far.
Oh, no. No. Where are the Cabalites? Where are the homunculus guys? Like...
If it was just Cabalites, though, Cabalites are just another shooty army.
True. They have some combat prowess, but not... They're, like, shooty and combat.
The Harlequins are also really, really cool.
Yeah, one of the guys at Games Workshop was playing Harlequins yesterday, and he destroyed people. He was playing against other armies that had very few numbers in them. And the thing with Harlequins is if they get in and stab you and your guys are standing close together, they can just consolidate into the next combat and just keep ripping you apart. He was worried about facing a swarm army. He didn't have to face one. He didn't think he could handle it, though.
I think their movement is 6 inches, and then when you run, it's double, so it's 12 inches. That's like a huge run. And then the solitaire's movement is 12 inches, and his run is 24 inches, which is insane.
There's a special rule that if you take the solitaire as your specialist for that mission, you don't take anyone else. You only play with the solitaire. And then if the other team kills the solitaire, they get a special bounty for the solitaire in addition to what they win for the game. So if you find a way to kill that solitaire, you're making out rich. I thought they should have done that for the Tyranids. I don't know how true it was, but one of the guys said that he was talking to a Games Workshop employee, and they said that they tested the Lictor in Shadow War, but it just decimated people. But I was thinking, why not do the Lictor like they did the Solitaire, where if you take a Lictor, he's your only person for that mission. Because that's kind of, like, very fluffy for a Lictor.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if it was a one-way game where one guy's playing Shadow Wars and one person's, like, the DM in charge of the Lictor. Or, like, two guys are playing and they both have to try and kill the Lictor.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I like that. Well, I guess we could just make up our own scenario for that. So I'm going to stop here because I think this is the part where I went and recorded again.
Cool. So, I guess that's it for Xenos Alchemist.
Okay, with that, I guess we should end.
Yeah, so we're going to close out. You'll probably notice that there's an extra maybe 2 minutes on the end of this podcast, so I wonder what that could be.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
The worlds can be one together. Cosmos without hatred. Diamond stars of cosmic light. Quasars shine through endless night. And everything is one in the beauty. And now we say goodbye, moon man. You say goodbye, moon man. Goodbye, moon man. Goodbye, moon man. Oh, goodbye.
Shut the f*** up about moon men!
The attacks are coming more frequently. I started out with one or two of my animals being mutilated. I thought I just had a new alpha, a certain dominance. But this thing that's hunting my animals defies all understanding. It could easily gorge itself on the slow-witted livestock at Jonald's farm not 2 miles away. Predator creatures always prey on fauna that are lower on the food chain. I don't raise livestock. I breed an animal called a hypothylacine. My animals are apex predators, top of the food chain, said to be able to track and kill any beast known in the Imperium. I raise them for sport, whether they be used as prey or as hunters by my clients. It's no business of mine. Whatever the hell is stalking them now ain't from around here. Hypothylacine's ability to hunt as a pack is what makes them so deadly. As long as they're on my property, I track all my animals' movements. But every time this shifty fucking demon attacks, my animals scatter. This son of a bitch dismembers my animals and doesn't even consume the flesh. It's terrorizing them, feeding on their fear. I'm at a loss for what to do.